Good morning. Would you please pray for me and with me as we begin this morning? Come, Holy Spirit, fall upon your people in this place and bring to us a word that can only come from you. Fill my mouth with your words and fill our hearts with your promises so that we may leave today hopeful, inspired, renewed, and redeemed. We lift this time up to you now for your glory. Amen. So today we're talking about fear. We all have our fears, right? On my list of fears is the fear of heights. Now, I would love to get on a roller coaster at any time, any place. And I'm always up for an adventure. And I certainly don't want to be afraid of heights. Like, I have a desire to do daring things. But forget it. You get me up high, and I am done. Like, even a few steps high, and I'm afraid I'm going to fall over. So for me, that's just a thing. And so in my life with our students, I've had to face some of my fears, and I've been presented with some challenges. For the past 2 years, we've done a fall retreat at Camp High Road. And if you've ever been there, they have a high ropes course. And when I say high, I mean high ropes course. That's a picture of it right there. You see how high that is? Like, it's taller than those trees. And so I got there the first time, and I looked at that thing, and I said, oh, uh-uh. Like, you could not pay me enough to get up on that thing. So instead, I sent them up, and I made hot chocolate, and I cheered them on, and that's what we did. But the second time we went, the next year, I thought, all right, I got to do something, right? Like, I can't be the chicken on the ground. If they're brave enough, I've got to do something. So they have this swing there. And what you do is you wear a harness and you clip a carabiner onto your harness, and then a group of people runs with you and you go zipping up to the treetops. And I'd seen them do it, and I thought, well, you know, at least you're not dangling up on the ropes course, right? Like, I think I can get behind this. And so I decided I'm going to be brave and do it. Oh, boy. So I did. I got my harness on. It was my turn. They clipped me on. You get on this ladder, and then they start to run with you, and woo, there you go. Well, I get up to the, look, that's me. I get up to, like, the top of that telephone pole thing, and all of a sudden, instead of sitting upright, I'm, like, laying backwards, right? Like, this is my worst nightmare. Not only am I so far up, I'm, like, flailing, like a bug on its back. Like, I can't move. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is it, right? Like, this is how I die. This is the time. And so what you do when you get up there, you've got to yank on this chain. And when you yank on it in just the right way, it lets you go and you go flying, right? And oh, you swing all the way down and it's so nice. And that's the fun part, supposedly. So I'm up there and I'm like, all right, well, here we go. And I'm pulling with all my might. And I'm so stinking determined. And I'm pulling harder and I'm pulling harder, so hard that my hands started to hurt because silly me didn't wear any gloves. And so I'm pulling and I'm pulling and I'm pulling and nothing's working. And then I started to panic, right? Like, I'm way up here. I can't see or do anything. I am, like, rendered useless and this thing won't move. What do I do? And so finally someone in their mercy said, why don't we let her down? And I thought, all right, that's good. Thank you. But I felt so defeated because I was so determined to do this thing and I couldn't do it. And my fear, it got the better of me. So I get down on the ladder and I'm talking to the staff person. Somebody brought me a pair of gloves and she said, do you want to try it again? And I said, well, yeah, I do, but, and before I could say anything else, she goes, all right, this is your time. Boom, they go running with me again before I can say anything else. And I find myself back up there. And so she hollers up to me. She goes, all right, just breathe, focus, and then pull. Okay, breathe, focus, and I pull. Nothing. I was like, oh, here we go again. And so, again, still determined, I'm pulling, nothing's happening, and I gave up. This time I legitimately gave up. And so I said, we're done. And they started to bring me down. But literally the minute that they started to walk so that I could come down, I gave it one last tug, and that was the one. All of a sudden, I went flying through the air. And I tell you what, that feeling of being free, that feeling of being free from this thing that had been entrapping me was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. Because the problem was, I spent my time up there believing that I could strong arm this contraption into letting me go. Believing that I wasn't safe, not trusting the very tools that I was given to trust in. The bottom line is, I felt out of control, right? I felt like I had no control, and I felt afraid. Imagine how much better my experience would have been if I had just entered into the whole thing by trusting and taking a deep breath and focusing on my task at hand and letting go. Breathe, focus, and let go. Sounds easy enough, right? But frankly, we don't do that enough. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." John 14:27 says, "Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." These are three of the 314 scriptures that we find in the Bible that tell us not to be afraid. 314. And in each of these scriptures, we're hearing the same message, right? God is with you. God does not give us a spirit of fear. God gives us power. God has power. We should not fear anything. After hearing a message 314 times, we should believe it, right? Then why is it so hard? Today we begin a sermon series on courage called Stronger. In this series, we're going to look at fear and what Scripture says about how we should face fear. Fear can hold us captive. I mean, spend 5 minutes with the news and you find that you have good reason to be afraid. Terrorism, poverty, suffering. And we find ourselves in that conflict of knowing something in our head and trying to believe it in our soul. That's a conflict that I struggle with. Because I believe that God is with me. I believe that Christ has shown me his power, and yet I still struggle. I still fear, and I still want to be in charge sometimes. It's actually in our very nature to respond to situations of fear, to things that make us feel threatened or afraid. We possess a strong survival mechanism in our brains that directly links to our bodies, and this is actually something that we develop at 7 weeks in utero. Like, as we are being formed in our mother's womb, we are developing this ability to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, and preserve our life. And it is this mechanism that regulates our breathing, our digestive system, our heart rate, our temperature, and our FFFFF system. Now, I didn't make that up. That's a real thing. It stands for fight, flight, freeze, flop, friend. And I would invite you to say that 10 times fast. But without this survival mechanism, without this awareness of fear, I mean, what can you imagine? We would be like walking into oncoming traffic. We'd like jump off of rooftops. I would have gone up on that high ropes course without a harness. We'd be handling like poisonous snakes. There's no telling what we would find ourselves in danger, or how we would find ourselves in danger because we would lack that. It's amazing to me that God created us in such a way that we can protect ourselves, that he knows what he's doing and knows what we need so that we can preserve our life and so that we don't find ourselves doing things that, frankly, would cause us great harm. But in spite of how awesome our Creator is, we can't rely on this mechanism alone, right? And it doesn't necessarily work with all types of fear. Because the kind of fear we're talking about today, it's more of that anxious fear. You know, that emotional fear that creeps up on you and can consume you? I believe that when we are experiencing that kind of fear, what we're experiencing is false expectations about reality. False expectations about reality. And what I mean by this is we determine an outcome of a situation and then we create expectations around it. We decide how something's going to go and then we live into that. We get on an airplane and determine that this is the plane that's going to crash. We send a child off somewhere and believe that something terrible will happen. We make a mistake at work and believe this is it. This is the day I get fired. And more often than not, these expectations that we create around our reality, they take over. They become in charge, and we forget to ask God to be in charge. We forget that Scripture says, fear not, and be anxious for nothing. And then when we do remember that, like when we try to tell ourselves, be anxious for nothing, fear not, we think, yeah, right, that applied to that situation. I have legitimate reason to be afraid. And so the question before us is, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you believe that God is big enough? Do you believe that God is great enough, mighty enough, and good enough? Do you believe that God is enough? The psalmist does. He writes, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate." In verse 7, he writes, "The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy." In verse 9, he writes, "He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." But the psalmist says something else about God. He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to fear, but I'm supposed to fear the Lord? How do I remain a faithful disciple who fears the Lord yet honors God's plea for us to not be afraid? Well, to fear the Lord is a different thing, right? Fearing the Lord is not having false expectations about reality, but instead having such a clear understanding of God's awesomeness, of God's power, that we can't help but let God be in charge. If we were to substitute the word fear in today's text with reverence, it would read, "The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So often we approach our relationship with Christ as, you know, I've got this buddy named Jesus who loves me no matter what and always has my back. It's awesome. And in a sense, that's true. Jesus does love you and accept you no matter what. And Jesus is your Savior and defender and always has your back. But if we only think of Christ as our friend without that balance and respect and awe for who God is, then we can't fully experience relationship with God. And if we don't fully experience relationship with God, then we find it harder to be free of fear. And that is the starting point, relationship with God. And it is that very relationship that opens us up to knowing God, to experiencing his greatness, and to learn to trust in his power. Jesus talks about this a lot, but today we're going to look at when he talks about the woman with the issue of blood. You remember the story. For 12 years, she suffered with bleeding. Bleeding that made her weak and tired, but even worse, it made her isolated. Because at that time, a woman who is bleeding cannot be seen or touched until she's made clean again. And this woman hasn't been able to do that for 12 years. 12 years. And that being unclean, it puts her on the same status as a leper. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt weak, tired, isolated, damaged, worthless? Maybe you struggle with anxiety and you spend so much time worrying about something that you are paralyzed and can't take the next step. You feel stuck. Maybe you struggle with an addiction that causes you to be isolated or to want to hide who you are because of the shame that you feel. Maybe you find yourself stuck in a toxic relationship and you feel unworthy. You feel broken. You feel worn down. And maybe you're just so consumed by anger that you fear there's nothing good left. Do you want a savior? Don't you want someone to come in and take away all of your fear and your pain and your brokenness and your loneliness and your shame? That's what this woman wanted. She wanted a savior. And now Jesus, he's always moving, right? He's always going somewhere to be with people. And that's what's happening here. He's passing through on his journey. And all of a sudden, he finds himself surrounded by a crowd. And as I try to imagine what this looks like, I can think of like Walmart on Black Friday, right? Like he comes into town and all of a sudden, he's surrounded by a swarm of people. And it is Jesus's nature to want to take time for them. And these people, they all want to see and hear Jesus. They're so excited because they want a word, right? They want a word of hope and healing. They want to be in the presence of Jesus, of this man they've heard so much about. And so imagine this woman, right? She knows the culture. She knows why she's isolated. She knows that if she were to leave her home, she would find herself chastised. She would find herself judged. She would be breaking societal norms and laws. But she knows that Jesus is there. She knows that the one who has performed miracles, who they say is the Messiah, is so close, and yet she can't leave her home. So she has a choice to make. She has a choice to make. She either had to believe that Jesus' power was great enough for her to face her fear of defiling Jesus and the crowd, of breaking law, of being chastised and condemned, or to let the fear she was taught to have win and miss out on a chance to see Jesus and to maybe, just maybe, receive healing. She decides to do it. She steps outside of her home. She steps out in faith and in fear so that she can see Jesus. But unlike the others, she didn't race up to the crowd. She didn't run in and run up to Jesus instead. She goes to the back. She goes to the back of the crowd and she gets close and she gets low. And then she reaches out her hand and she just touches the fringe of his garment. She knows that Jesus has power, and she has enough awe of Jesus to believe that just touching his hem would be enough. She had enough faith in his power to believe he could make her whole again. And as soon as she touched it, her bleeding stopped. And so did Jesus. He stopped. He hadn't seen her, but he knew exactly what had happened. And he didn't have to say a word, but he chose to. And I believe that he chose to because he wanted to bring her action to light. He wanted to bring her action to light, not to expose her and to give life to her fear, but instead to expose her faith and to bring light to his power. This woman with the bleeding issue, she became stronger through faith in the unknown. Her very act of coming forward to touch his garment was an incredible act of strength, born of longing and fear. And I believe he wanted the crowd to know that. That woman, she was afraid. She was afraid of what would happen when she stepped out. But she was more afraid of her current reality. She was more afraid of her current reality, and she had enough reverence and awe of Christ to find the strength to take that step. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. God is great enough. God is worthy of our awe and our willingness to step out in faith instead of living in fear. We all have fear. We all have areas of our lives where we can relate to that woman. Areas of our lives where we just need the courage and the strength to take that next step. But if we continue to hold on to our fear, we can't fully reach out and hold on to Jesus, the one who is greater than it all. Instead, if we take a minute, if we breathe, focus, and let go, and reach out to Christ, then we can emerge from our places of pain, of longingness, of weakness, and of fear into the fullness of love and freedom found in relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So do you want to get close? Do you want to get close and touch the fringe of his garment? Then humble yourself. Humble yourself before him in reverence. Humble yourself through prayer, through worship, through communion here today, and just being still. Because when we humble ourselves, when we hold on to Christ instead of to our fear, we'll come to learn that God is enough. And we'll find the same strength that woman did. Amen.